What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
So last year, according to Fantasy Football Calculator's average draft position in PPR leagues, there were only two sophomore running backs drafted in the first three rounds. Two. And they were both drafted in the top 12 or 13. Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders. We did a draft about a month and a half ago now. There were seven sophomore running backs drafted in the first three rounds, the first 36 picks in our PPR mock draft. Unbelievable. All the way from Jonathan Taylor, who was a top six pick, to Cam Akers, who was 36. We welcome you to the show. Yesterday, we talked sophomore quarterbacks. This year, Today, the year two running backs. What? Anyway, what's up, Dave and Heath? Dave, welcome back.
It's great to be with you here on Sunday, March 32nd of the year 1994. Since we don't know what day or year or whatever the hell you were talking about back then, but this is an exciting group of running backs. And we knew that this was going to be a good class last year. Not quite at about this time last year, but maybe 10 months ago, we knew that it was going to be a good class. And lo and behold, one of the best running backs in the class wasn't even somebody that we were evaluating at this time. That's the beauty of football, is that guys can still come out of the woodwork and be great and be ranked just as high as guys that we thought could had a chance to be workhorse studs for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Heath, what do you think about that? Seven running backs went in the top 36. And I think in a PPR league, I don't think that that's going to be much of an anomaly. There's a big seven. You know, it's Taylor, CEH, Robinson, Gibson, Akers, Swift, Dobbins. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys were talking about. I was looking up a Ringer article, and it says that actually people don't know what day it is because of the pandemic, and it's completely normal, and you're actually right.
Yeah, and Dave said something about 10 months ago that it feels like yesterday. Yeah, but it is an interesting crop, and I'm gonna have to ask you guys to rank the top seven. Are you prepared to do that?
Excellent. Oh, fully.
Let's rock.
I'm ready.
All right.
The nice thing is I've done it such a great job of ranking them that this won't change from now until you draft in August. This is exactly the order that I will draft them, no matter what changes.
Perfect.
That's exciting to hear. I'll say that I might change these based on information that I get or things that I learn at any point in the next 4 months. So. I'm going to stay fluid. Heath, you stay rigid. Should we have a reveal, Adam? How should we do this?
7-1 or 1-7?
That's what I'm trying to think right now. Let's go 7-1.
Okay.
All right.
Number
okay.
Seven.
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you want to go first, Dave?
I don't give a damn.
Heath, go first.
Number seven, I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
J.K. Dobbins.
Okay.
Which I hate, by the way. I hate that he's last on any list because I love him, but it's a situation. We'll get into that.
These are PPR, right?
Yes, I hate it as well. That's why I have him at number six, J.K. Dobbins.
And I've got Antonio Gibson at number six.
I have Antonio Gibson at number five.
And I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number five. So the bottom three names for Heath and I, Adam, are the same three names, just a different order.
Yeah, Edwards-Helaire, Dobbins, Gibson, in some order. We'll recap the order. All right, Heath, who's four?
Number four is Cam Akers. And this is actually like, I think these four guys may change positions quite a bit. To me, there's two tiers with these seven running backs. This is the bottom tier. They all rank for me somewhere between 17 and 23 at running back. And then the top three are in a different tier, all inside of my top 10.
And I feel like, to me, there's a clear cut number one. I'm not going to change who my number one guy is unless his situation changes. The next three are in a separate tier behind that number one guy, and then the three after. So 1, 3, and 3 would be the number of running backs in my rookie or sophomore year. We can't call them rookies anymore. Sophomore year tiers. And my number four is DeAndre Swift with the Lions.
Okay. Heath, three.
Number three is very, very difficult for me. And this is, I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift.
Oh, okay. I thought I was about to hear a different name there. I was going to be surprised. I have Akers third. I think he's got a chance to get more work and certainly be a factor in the passing game. He's three for me. So that leaves only two names now.
Yep. And I have, like, in my top 100 or top 200, I have these three backs back to back to back so that they're that close. But I've got Jonathan Taylor at number two.
Wow. Oh. I've got Robinson at two. Jonathan Taylor is my one.
I already wrote James Robinson 2, Jonathan Taylor 1. I was just so sure of it. For Heath, now I have to copy and paste. Wow, you screwed me up. Okay, James Robinson 1. That's okay. And for Dave, James Robinson is 2, and Jonathan Taylor is 1, which is what I expected. To recap, now from 1 to 7, Heath goes Robinson, Taylor, Swift, Akers, Gibson. Who am I forgetting? We're getting
Dobbins
someone?
And Edwards.
Dobbins Edwards-Helaire. There we go. Okay. Robinson, Taylor, Swift, Akers, Gibson, Dobbins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Dave goes Taylor, Robinson, Akers, Swift, Edwards-Helaire, Gibson, Dobbins. Interesting stuff. All right. Go ahead. Number one, James Robinson. Why, Heath?
Well, over Taylor. First off, this is starting my process, just like it does early in the week, starts with projections. And he was the only running back who was good for a full season. I was looking at it, and there's like, you can, for most of these guys, there was a good 6-game stretch.
Oh, it's so weird. It's almost all of them. It was 6 games.
Yes.
It was Taylor, Edwards-Helaire, Akers, Dobbins, and Swift. The five of them, they had a great 6-game stretch. That's basically what it came down to. Go on.
And really, even Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a pretty great 6-game stretch, except for touchdowns to start the year.
Yeah,
used him as a workhorse, and then nothing else. So I just think with Robinson being that good, that involved in the passing game, and better than Taylor on a per game basis, even with Taylor's flourish at the end of the year. And now the offense is going to be better. Now they're going to have better quarterback play. Now they're seemingly going to have a better coaching. He might actually even be better.
Okay. Why Taylor over Robinson, Dave?
I think he's already in a situation where he can improve and be better in his second season because, I mean, let's face it, there were some games in his rookie year where it looked like he didn't know what he was doing. He had 5 games with 14 or fewer touches. That's a third of his games overall. On the season, he finished top 10 in fantasy points, PPR points per game, and consistency. It's hard to find that whole trifecta. I'm doing the Macho Man finger thing here. I don't know exactly why. But I think he showed by the end of the year that he could be dominant. 19-plus PPR fantasy points in each of his final 5 regular season games. He had 15 PPR points in the playoff games. He looks legit. The offensive line is good. Will he lose work to Nyheim Hines? Yes, it's going to happen. Hines certainly can play in the hurry up offense, but I think that the Colts, especially with questions at quarterback, and that'll be the case even if they add Carson Wentz, they're going to be a run focused team. They're going to lean on Jonathan Taylor. He's a talent. He's great. He's a better pass catcher than we even gave him credit for. He'll get better as a pass blocker this offseason, and he's got a chance to finish as a top 5 fantasy running back. I have a hard time saying that about James Robinson, even though there are some things to really like about Robinson with the coaching change that that Heath talked about.
Yeah, you guys think Urban Meyer, or is
he
it the combination
top five,
of...
He was a top 5 running back on a per-game basis last year, wasn't he, Robinson?
No. Not according to FF Today. He was close. I'm going to tell you.
I've got him 7th. I got him
6th.
6th.
8th and 9th, 6th in PPR.
He was sixth in PPR fantasy points per game, seventh overall, and 12th in consistency.
Now,
oh, he was really good.
He was so good. For a little perspective, though, he was sixth per game this year, James Robinson in PPR. You put those same points per game, 2019, he would have been eighth. 2018, he would have been ninth. So still great, still top 10. It was a bad year for running back, so it's a little bit pushed up a little bit in that regard.
I just think, and I know a lot of it's because of his pedigree, and this may end up being true in the end, but like I was looking at those six game per game averages, and Jonathan Taylor's six game stretch was on a different level than anyone else's six game stretch. No other running back besides Taylor, like Swift's final six games, 17.5 PPR points per game. Akers, if you include his playoff game, 16.3. Dobbins, 16.6. Dobbins, 16.3. Clyde had a 15.9. Those are like their best six games. James Robinson was 17.8 for the full 14 games that he played. I don't think it's fair to him as the guy that finished sixth in points per game last year to say he just doesn't have quite the same upside as the other guys.
Yeah, but he had... Okay, so his 16-game pace, Robinson, was 1,616 total yards, 56 catches, 11 touchdowns. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, before the Le'Veon Bell trade, was on pace for 1,819 total yards, 203 more yards than Robinson was on pace for. Wow. The same amount of catches, 8 fewer touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor, in those 6 games, was on pace for 2,232 total yards. He's not going to get that. That's 600 more than what James Robinson was on pace for.
That's the floor.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if James Robinson hit his ceiling. The guy had 5 carries inside the 5-yard line all year. He scored on every one of them. He was the only running back with 5 or more touchdowns inside the 5 that had fewer than 8 carries. So he was lucky in that regard. He had no competition. I mean, this guy got basically every single running back carry for the 14 games he played. You look at number 2 on the team was Dari Ogunbowale, who had 32 carries. 28 of them came without Robinson in week 16 and 17. So, and James and Chris Thompson missed half the year too. So is there a scenario where this guy is going to get that percentage of touches? I'm just wondering if James Robinson did as well as he possibly could have as a rookie.
It's possible that he did. There were, like, still, even with what you said, and he did get most of the touches, there were still a third of the games that he played in where he played 62% of the snaps or fewer. There were games early in the year where they were throwing the ball to Chris Thompson. There were games late in the year where they were working in Ogunbowale. So
Robinson.
Week 14, he played 56% of the snaps. Week 15, he played 62% of the snaps.
Right, but I'm saying the carries. He got almost every carry for the team when he was healthy.
That may be true, but in those two games, he had 28 carries combined. It's not like he was getting 25 carries a game.
Yeah, he wasn't a workhorse like Taylor was. And they were a terrible team. I mean, they had the fewest rush attempts in the NFL. And he finished as a top 8 running back. That is amazing. Do you worry about the pedigree? Do you worry about him being a one-year wonder? Because every other guy we're talking about was a top 66 pick, Gibson being the last of that group. Most of them were first or second round. Most of them were second round picks. Do you worry about Robinson being an undrafted free agent and Philip Lindsay couldn't really back it up? I don't know. Are you worried about it?
To be fair, Lindsay didn't have a year quite like what Robinson had.
No, he was a great rookie year, but not like this. You're right. But
so I got a lot of feels on James Robinson. On one hand, the track record of guys that come out of nowhere, they have a hard time sticking around at that same level in the years following. And I don't have, you know, hard data to back that up, but think about the best running backs in the NFL, how few of them are undrafted running backs. You've got guys like Arian Foster, who sustained success for a long time. I think that was the system that he was in. I think the system that James Robinson is going into will be a huge factor, along with what the new coaching staff in Jacksonville decides to do at the running back position. If you look at the depth chart and you're Urban Meyer and you've got James Robinson at the top and then the guys behind him are, you know, the Dari Ogunbowales and the Divine Ozigbos of the world, you're going to replace them. They're going to find other running backs to come in and not necessarily come to a 50-50 split with James Robinson, because one thing that Urban Meyer has talked about is having that horse. And think back to his great running backs at Ohio State. He likes having that lead guy, but he also likes having a mobile quarterback. And that area that you were talking about, Adam, where James Robinson was so efficient on those short yardage runs, he's going to lose work there. So he might get more carries inside the five, but he will also lose work there, assuming that it's Trevor Lawrence or even if it's Justin Fields as the quarterback in Jacksonville. This is what Urban Meyer does. He constantly wants to have a mobile quarterback. You look at his track record, almost all of his quarterbacks from Bowling Green all the way through to Ohio State, those guys would move and they would score touchdowns. And Trevor Lawrence did a ton of that at Clemson. So it would be a seamless fit for Lawrence to come in, run the zone read inside the five. Robinson ends up with a handful of air and it's Trevor Lawrence running in for a short yardage touchdown. That'll hurt Robinson. If the Jaguars find another running back that they like better than James Robinson, obviously that'll hurt James Robinson. We need to find out if Urban Meyer and company are just in love with James Robinson. Because if they are, then it's going to be smooth sailing. He'll be worth a first round pick. But if they don't, and we'll get an idea of this based on what they do in free agency and in the draft and how they add running backs to their team. If they don't see him as a workhorse guy in the same vein as Ezekiel Elliott and Carlos Hyde and other backs that Urban Meyer has had, then you will see a split. And where did Darrell Bevell just come from? He was in Detroit for 3 years. He couldn't find that stud workhorse like he had with Marshawn and AP back in the day. He rode multiple guys. He'll keep doing that if that's what it takes to win in Jacksonville, which, by the way, will be a team. They'll be balanced. Urban has always been a big fan of running the football. But if they draft Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you know that they're going to put the ball in the air a decent amount of the time, and that'll hurt any running back that's in Jacksonville.
I just said his team ran fewer than any other team in football, so it will go up. They won't be 32nd again. Also, they were 30th in scoring. I looked at the last six seasons. How many running backs can finish in the top 12 and be in a bottom five scoring offense? There's one a year, basically. And the last time somebody finished higher than Robinson on a bottom five scoring offense was Todd Gurley in his rookie year, which was six seasons ago. And he was a little bit better than Robinson in non-PPR. He was about a point and a half worse per game in PPR. So that's how great of a season it was for Robinson. Really just blew our minds, and you know, good for him. Very impressive stuff. We could probably spend a whole hour talking about him. Let's talk about Jonathan Taylor. You have second. I know you think that people taking him in the top six or so might be reaching a little bit. And in those last six games, like I said, he was on pace for 2,200 total yards, but only 37 catches. So is that what's holding you back, the catches?
Well, it's the catches. And with all of these guys, like when we were, I didn't get to word in, but when we were talking about when we were talking about these paces that guys were on, a 14 game pace is at least doubly more important than a 6 game pace. Like, you can get in a whole lot of trouble looking back over the years for the best 6 game pace of a player's season and saying they're going to do anything close to that over a full season. Now, I think Taylor's situation is a little bit different because he was an elite prospect and he was a rookie, and we did have the pandemic, and it shouldn't be that surprising that he got off to a slow start and then finally figured it out. But I do think that also such a large percentage of that is based on week 17 against Jacksonville that has to be factored in a little bit as well.
I thought he was good pretty much every week. No,
he was good. Yes. But he became like that 6 game stretch has that type of pace because he had 253 yards in. It was only one of two games over 100 yards that he had in that 6 game stretch.
You're right. He did score 7 touchdowns in his last 4 games. Another thing that's not going to be sustainable.
His 16 game pace, if you throw out week 17, is almost 1,400 total yards and 11 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's not nearly as good as 2,200 total yards. Okay, and you're talking about his 16-game pace. You're just taking his last 5 games instead of last 6 games. That's what you're saying? Or your full season?
No, I'm saying the entire season.
Weeks
1 through 5, games 1 through 5.
No, so I, right. When I look at Jonathan Taylor as week 11 on, hoping that that's the kind of work you're going to get. Not the 30 carries against Jacksonville, but routinely 16 or more carries or something like that. And I
want to clarify, like when I argued about the James Robinson upside, I do think Jonathan Taylor has as much upside as just about any running back in football, except for the Nyheim Hines factor. Like I think he could be viewed by the end of next year as in the conversation for the best running back in football. He's incredible.
That's why you've got to take him. I'm sorry to cut you off, Heath, but that's why you've got to take him high. To me, that's why you've got to take him higher than James Robinson, is because he does have the potential to be the number one running back in the game.
Does he though? Does he have to be Derrick Henry basically? Because he just won't catch enough passes.
I think he might. I think he could end up catching a decent amount of passes. So he could be Derrick Henry with a splash of Saquon Barkley.
Okay.
And that just makes me drool all over the place.
So you guys have 1 and 2 flip-flopped. For Heath, it's Robinson Taylor. For Dave, it's Taylor Robinson. You also have 3 and 4 flip-flopped. Akers and Swift for Dave. Akers 3, Swift 4. And Swift 3, Akers 4 for Heath. And Heath, you want the first word here? Why Swift over Akers?
Yeah, I wouldn't really make any argument strongly for Robinson over Taylor, or like I think they're right there in the back end of the first round. This is the one where I probably have the biggest disagreement. Swift's best 6 games were better on a per game basis than Akers. Well, doesn't matter on a per game basis. Were better in PPR than Cam Akers were, and he was better than Cam Akers before that stretch. And he's shown us the ability to thrive in the passing game, and he has a new offensive coordinator that loves, loves, loves to throw the ball to his running backs and is talking about 25 touches a game for DeAndre Swift. So I think Swift belongs in the Robinson-Taylor discussion. But I also thought Swift was more talented than Akers coming into the NFL. And so he was also better than Akers in a worse offense last year. I think DeAndre Swift is in a different category than Cam Akers.
I think he could end up being way better in PPR, but I'm nervous, Heath. I'm nervous about trusting him. I'm nervous about trusting anybody in Detroit. I think Detroit's going to be a bad team this year. Adam has already talked about and mentioned how running backs on bad teams typically do in fantasy, and there's one per year that ends up being great, and maybe Swift will be the guy. But there's good stuff that I really like about him too. And I agree with you that in the draft process last year, I like Swift better than Akers, just as a talent standpoint goes. He averaged 3.5 receptions per game in 2020. He had at least 3 catches in each of his final 10 games. So we know that he could have that type of role, that passing downs role that we saw Austin Eckler have in LA with Anthony Lynn, who's now in charge of calling that offense in Detroit. I also like this stat. 9 of his 10 touchdowns, guys, were from inside of 10 yards. Mm-hmm. Those are his total touchdowns. All of his rushing touchdowns were from 6 yards.
I saw that too. But how about this? The Lions last year had 17 running back rushing touchdowns, which blew my mind. That's as many as they had in 2018 and 2019 combined. So that was very unusual. And Peterson, I think, had 7 of them, and Swift had 8 of them. They had 17 as a team. This is usually a team that's under 10 rushing touchdowns per year. You have to go back to 2013 that they had more than 10 or more than 11 rushing touchdowns by running backs. So right. I don't know what to make of that, but that was extremely unusual. Whereas the Rams, 4 years under McVay, running back rushing touchdowns, 15, 19, 17, and 12. So the funny thing about what Heath said about Akers or about Swift being better than Akers in those last 6 games, which is 6 regular season games for Swift, 4 regular season and 2 postseason games for Akers, is that it was really the touchdowns that were the biggest difference.
And that'll continue to be the difference. Because
what do you mean? You think more touchdowns for Swift? Because I think more touchdowns for Akers in 2021.
That's what I'm getting at. And that's part of the reason. I think Akers can be better as a pass catcher, too. He only caught 11 passes in the regular season. I think he's got room to grow there. And he was dominating playing time by the end of the year. I think he played 96% of the snaps in one of the playoff games. It was outrageous. But you talked about the track record for the Rams and all the running back touchdowns that they had. That's under McVay. McVay is still there. I don't want to give as much credence to what you said about the Lions stat, about how many rushing touchdowns their running backs don't have, because it's a new staff coming in. And I don't know Dan Campbell, but he strikes me as the kind of coach that would prefer to just lean on the run and start building the offense through the run game, kind of that older approach that some, you know, not the same type of approach that other teams have. Certainly not teams like Kansas City that have the dynamic quarterback. And maybe that's because the Lions don't have a dynamic quarterback, but they do have a good solution at running back with DeAndre Swift. I'm worried about the touches being there for Swift. The catches might be great. I'm worried about the carries to go along with it. I know he can handle short yardage duty. He proved that last year. How many of those opportunities is he going to get in 2021? And God help us if the Lions, for whatever reason, keep Adrian Peterson. They're going to keep Kerryon Johnson because he's a cheap talent. But if they either replace Peterson with somebody who's a physical back or they keep Peterson, that could hurt DeAndre Swift from having even more touchdowns. So I do think he's got a great PPR ceiling. I'm not going to fault you, Heath, for ranking him ahead of Cam Akers. But I think Akers will have the edge in touchdowns, touches, and total yards. And I think he can make up for that with that production versus what Swift gives you on the ground and through the air and through receptions.
Yeah, go ahead, Heath. Do you want to finish?
No, I just, again, if this comes from like the projection process, what did they do last year? You can project that Cam Akers is going to score more touchdowns this following year, but it's also true that last year in short yardage, the Rams were just as likely, if not more likely, to use a back other than Cam Akers in short yardage than the Lions were with DeAndre Swift. Yes, Adrian Peterson was a problem. Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson were stealing touchdowns from Cam Akers, and Daryl Henderson's still going to be there as well.
How do you look at that, though, in the last six games when I don't know what the splits were in terms of near the goal line, but Henderson and Brown in the last six games had 30 touches and Akers had 143. So I'm just wondering if what you said is front-loaded, you know?
Well, no, the touch split definitely changed, but Henderson was also hurt for a majority of that time, wasn't he?
I don't know about a majority of the time, but it's clear that they gave the keys to the car to Cam Akers down the stretch.
Right, in December.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to our last three then. So that would be 5, 6, 7, and let me just get the order here. For Dave, it was 5, Gibson, 6, Dobbins. Nope, this is Heath. For Heath, it was 5, Gibson, 6, Dobbins, 7, Edwards-Helaire. For Dave, it was Edwards-Helaire, Gibson, Dobbins. So that's the, not quite the reverse. All right, whatever. Dave, you had Clyde Edwards-Helaire 5th, and Heath, you had in 7th. So Dave, why don't you start as the high guy here on Edwards-Helaire?
I want to look back on Edwards-Helaire before he got hurt, before Le'Veon and Darrell Williams started taking work away from him. He had at least 11 PPR points in each of his first 7 games and 9 of his first 10 games. And then week 11 comes, he gets hurt. It looked really bad. And it was just tough luck from there. I think the Chiefs end up going right back to Edwards-Helaire as their first back on the field. Hopefully he makes improvements as a pass catcher so that he can start taking that third down role. But I almost feel like there's a lot of room for him to grow. I think that's pretty obvious to say. He's still a good talent. We saw flashes of it this year. I know that not working short yardage goal line absolutely sucked, especially in week 1. You remember that first game against Houston? He couldn't get in, and the offensive line was bad. Obviously the line in the Super Bowl was a huge problem for Kansas City. They're going to address that. And I'm hoping that the Chiefs see a better version of Edwards-Helaire in training camp. He has a regular offseason, and he combines the flashes that he had as a rookie with the strengths that he had at LSU to become a do-it-all three-down running back. And I'm willing to take the chance on him late round 2, early round 3 if he's there. I think he's absolutely worth taking as a number 2 fantasy running back.
And Heath, why are you going to take Gibson and Dobbins ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
I just feel like it may end up proving true in year 2, but I feel like we kind of got duped a little bit by the Chiefs feature running back thing. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season, did get 60% of the snaps in every single game. After week 7, he had one game where he had more than 60%. He saw more than 60% of the snaps.
That was with the Le'Veon Bell trip. Got to point that right out. What do you make of that? Right.
Well, I make of it that they used him in that feature role for 6 weeks, and then they went and added someone else to not use him that way any longer.
They also started throwing the ball so much more. They just stopped running. You know, they changed their offense.
When you have Patrick Mahomes, it's probably the way to do things. I think there's a concern that there's a concern with his catch total. There's a concern with his touchdown total. And I like, and I think Dave would agree with this, before he was drafted in the first round by the Chiefs, we thought he was at best the fourth most talented back in this class, probably fifth.
He was absolutely fifth.
Now, so that's why I initially was a little down on him, because I was, I think, a little bit in the CBS bubble. But I started looking at other sites. They did not feel the same way about Clyde. They were higher than CBS was, I would say, on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Well, it kind of looks like CBS was right.
It might be. But
we were also wrong, because we bought into Andy Reid sprinkling pixie dust on Clyde Edwards-Helaire's head and him turning into, you know, Kareem Hunt times Priest Holmes. And it didn't.
And a little Brian Westbrook. Away.
Sure. Throw a little Brian Westbrook in there, too.
I don't think I cut off Heath. I'm sorry. Did you finish your point? Because I keep cutting you off. But what do you think about Damian Williams and his role? How much of a factor is that?
I have him factored into a similar role as Le'Veon Bell and Darrell Williams last year.
Okay. I'm going to say something bold here. You guys can jump at me. Please do. Other than Jonathan Taylor, the sophomore running back with the best chance to finish number one in this group is Clyde Edwards-Helaire of these seven. He has the second most upside. Second highest.
See, I get that. I would make the argument that if Anthony Lynn is being truthful and DeAndre Swift sees more than 20 touches per game, he has a much better chance than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I would make the argument that, like, J.K. Dobbins is just the Ravens deciding they're not going to split running back carries away from being a challenger for number one.
But J.K. Dobbins could have 12 catches. And Edwards-Helaire had more than 50 in college in his last year, so we thought he was going to be really good at that.
Yeah.
I mean, he had moments where he was. He just didn't get enough opportunities.
It's the Chiefs thing. It's, you know, like, the Chiefs' offense is going to be so much better than the Lions.
And the Chiefs, like, since Patrick Mahomes got there, the Chiefs just don't really throw to running backs as much as you would expect an Anthony Lynn offense to do at all. They've been below average in that regard with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback.
So for 2021, rank them in terms of upside, just the top three. Who the three players with the most upside in this group?
I'd say Taylor, Swift, Robinson.
Well, if it's pure upside, it's Taylor 1, Dobbins 2, and...
PPR upside?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. If it's PPR upside, then it's got to be Taylor, Robinson, Swift. Because I think those are the guys that have 50 catch potential. And if we're just talking just like amazing numbers, no matter how they get them, I just think that Dobbins has all the talent in the world and he's just stuck in a situation that's, you know, bad for fantasy, good for him, good for the Ravens.
And we haven't talked about Gibson and Dobbins much, so have at it. Dave has Dobbins 7th and Gibson 6th. Heath has Edwards-Helaire 7th, Dobbins 6th, Gibson 5th, but they are in your bottom three. So Dave, Dobbins versus Gibson, you go Gibson, whereas Heath... No, you both have Gibson higher, right? Yeah, one spot.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, talk about these guys and what you expect. I'll give Dave, you can take Dobbins, Heath, take Gibson.
So the talent with Dobbins is A+, which, I mean, I've already kind of referenced that just a few minutes ago, but it's the workload concerns. It's sharing the ball with Gus Edwards. It's sharing the ball with Lamar Jackson. And if he's going to share the ball that much with them, then I don't see a lot of games where he's going to get 20-plus PPR points. He might get you 13, 14, 15, 16 in that range each week, and that's great. You'd love to have it. And he did that toward the end of the year, and he did it because he was scoring touchdowns, and a lot of them were short yardage scores, and that's awesome. But it's going to be rare where he's playing 70% of the snaps and he's getting 20 touches per game. And he's the one taking goal line work away from both Edwards and Lamar Jackson. The Ravens can run the ball better than almost anybody in the league. Dobbins is a tremendous running back. He's a specimen, but he is just sharing too much. And that puts a cap on what his potential really is, realistically is in fantasy.
Gibson, Heath?
There's a little bit of that with Gibson because of the J.D. McKissic problem. He did not have the year catching the ball that we were hoping he was going to have catching the ball, but he basically had 38 catches in, 13 complete games, 13 and a half games. So there's room for growth there. He was much better and more involved running the ball than I expected he would be. There is some pretty serious upside because in five of his last seven complete games, he had 17 touches or more, including a couple of 20 carry games. If they are willing to unleash him like that, and he still catches 3 to 4 passes per game, then we're underestimating Antonio Gibson a little bit as well.
100%. And to me, that the biggest thing with him is the split, because that line's going to get better. That defense is already good. He is in prime position to take over as potentially a 20 touch a week guy, but he's got to prove it. And he's got to kind of turn J.D. McKissic into J.D. Mush. Kiss him goodbye.
Okay. I got a couple of things to promote here real quick. I was supposed to do this earlier in the show, but what a nice conversation we've had about these running backs. So baseball's right around the corner. Make sure you're listening to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. You can also watch them live on weeknights around 10 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Baseball Today YouTube channel. So there's that. You can watch it on Twitch too, but on the YouTube channel, on the Fantasy Baseball Today YouTube channel, you can watch their show live. But you got to be downloading. I've started listening to the position previews. It's great stuff. Going to help me get prepared. It'll help you get prepared. You can listen to our show on your smart speakers. Just say, Alexa, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast, or say, hey, Google, play the latest episode of the Fantasy Football Today podcast. And hopefully you are not listening on some other device right now in your kitchen, and I didn't just activate your Alexa or your Google smart speakers. So that's what we're promoting. In terms of these running backs, let me ask you, who has the biggest chance to just fizzle out? The guy that I want to use is Jordan Howard, but it's not really fair because he backed up his rookie year with like another top 12 finish. He just wasn't nearly as good. He just got a ton of work. But I think Jordan Howard probably tricked us into thinking he was some great running back, and it just wasn't the case. Is there a better example, though, of a great rookie season and then really disappointing after that? I mean, who's got the downside, the most downside in this group?
You mean the seven running backs that we've talked about?
Yeah. And there are more than seven, and we'll get to them in a moment, but go on.
Sure. I mean, I think you could say that about James Robinson as having that kind of downside.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that Heath would.
I mean, long term, I think he's the riskiest from a dynasty perspective because no investment from the team and new coaching staff in year two. So I would agree that, like, in dynasty, he would be the one I'm most concerned about. I don't think, like, and I don't know anything about Damian Williams' plans, but I don't think it's really that hard to imagine a split with Damian Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire where he just busts next year big time.
Yeah, and let's look at that downside. If Edwards-Helaire doesn't improve like I'm hoping, and he's not given the opportunity to work in passing down situations, and Damian Williams is back, and it would be kind of crappy of the Chiefs to not keep him after he sat out the year because his mom had cancer. He was worried about her, and he was taking care of her. If they cut him after he left the team for that, then that's bad karma. That's gross. Yeah, that could end up being something that really does hurt Edwards-Helaire. I think he absolutely should be on the fizzles out list. If his first 5-6 games don't show any improvement, you already know what Kansas City is going to do because they did it last year.
Oh gosh. I just hope that there's not some sort of voodoo hex on Lions running backs, because I remember getting,
it was broken. DeAndre Swift broke the hex last year.
How do you figure he had like 600 rushing yards? Did he have that much?
He was like 17th on a per game basis.
Big deal. What does that mean? In a bad year for running backs, he was 17th on a per game basis. Who cares? This guy, he had 521 rushing yards. I don't know. It wasn't a special year. We've been excited about Amir Abdullah. We've been excited about Kerryon Johnson. They both stunk in their second years, or they weren't involved enough.
Completely irrelevant.
It probably is.
Like DeAndre Swift was better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, better than J.K. Dobbins. But like, there's no.
He was better than J.K. Dobbins? In terms of fantasy points or in terms of he played better? Because J.K. Dobbins was the most efficient running back in football.
Yeah, YPC for life. I won't disagree with you there.
He was.
He had the best rushing average. What do you suppose DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor or Cam Akers YPC would have been in that same situation last year?
I don't think it would have been six.
So you think he's definitively more talented than them?
No.
Because of a 6.0 yards per carry.
No, but I don't. But do you think that DeAndre Swift is definitively more talented than J.K. Dobbins?
I'm not saying that. I think he's going to get definitively a lot more catches.
I'm not saying what you're accusing me of. I'm just saying, yeah, look, Detroit's got a horrible track record here. And it wasn't just the Patricia coaching staff. It's been since 2013. They haven't had a good fantasy.
He was awesome last year. He was awesome last year. He's going to be better this year.
I am also treating it as if it is irrelevant. I just want everybody to know that.
You just want to keep bringing it. Maybe you can find a Ringer article about it.
I was right about that yesterday. I was 100% right. The only reason why people might think I'm wrong is because Jamie challenged me, but I was right.
I'm not saying you weren't right. I was wrong to go on about the article as often as you did on the podcast.
It was a joke, Heath. I think we got some laughs out of it. All right, Zach Moss, AJ Dillon, Keyshawn Vaughn. We'll talk about them when we come back on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So those are seven running backs we talked about extensively. Are there any other year two running backs, Dave, that you're excited about?
Yeah, the one that I'm most excited about is AJ Dillon, who could end up stepping up into a much bigger role in Green Bay. That's never, ever a bad thing when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback and the offensive line is as good as the Packers line has basically been for the last several seasons. He's my next favorite guy. He's number eight for me. And I think there's a chance that if things break the right way, where Aaron Jones goes to the Jets or the Falcons and Jamal Williams goes to some other squad, I don't know, Seattle, and AJ Dillon is the name at the top of the list. Okay, well, there's your lead running back for the Packers. And it's a guy who's built like Derrick Henry and has a coach who used to call plays for Derrick Henry. That could lead to a lot of big, big numbers. So he's got a ton of upside, and you're going to be able to get him much later on than the first seven rookie running backs on draft day for now.
Heath, what about Zach Moss?
Yeah.
Heath, don't be so optimistic.
I don't like the situation. I don't necessarily believe he's better than Devin Singletary. I don't think either of them are going to be a feature back. I don't want to draft him.
Buffalo's best running back in 2021 is not currently on the roster.
Well, sure he is.
No.
He just takes the snaps from the center.
Nope. Not going to be him either. This is a team that I expect, and they said as much. The GM said as much, that they want to really improve on their run game. I could see them drafting a running back in round one if they fall in love with Harris or ETN. And if they're not in love with either of those guys and they don't feel comfortable waiting for them, maybe they're the team that goes after Aaron Jones. But I think they try and fix their run game in a major way this offseason.
They seem like more like an Adrian Peterson team to me.
Oh, please no. Man, Aaron Jones of the Bills.
I think they've been trying to Adrian Peterson it for a couple of years now, and they just need to drop the hammer here on the running back spot.
All right, Keyshawn Vaughn could have some playing time. You know, you never underestimate Bruce Arians' desire to mess with Ronald Jones. If Fournette's out, so Vaughn's there. Josh Kelly started out good and then kind of faded. LaMichael Perine, Anthony McFarland, Darrington Evans would obviously need an injury. Eno Benjamin, I know people were high on, like from a dynasty standpoint, kind of high on him. Saw a little bit from DJ Dallas. Did I say any names that you think could work their way into fantasy relevance? Vaughn and Kelly maybe at the top of the list?
Kelly for me. You look at the Chargers depth chart right now, and it's Eckler one and number two. And we'll see who the coaches like there. Do they like Kalen Ballage and want to keep him in a physical role, or do they like Kelly and want to give him a chance to be that 1B running back? It is a different coaching staff, but I still don't think that they're going to look at Austin Eckler and say 20 touches per game, make him our lead guy or make him our workhorse guy. There's been a hesitancy to use Austin Eckler in short yardage situations for several years now. I would imagine that's going to continue. So whoever that second back is should be more physical than Eckler and could end up stealing maybe six touchdowns. We can be optimistic. Why the hell not? Six touchdowns from Austin Eckler over the course of the season. For now, Kelly, I think, is that guy. And so if I'm doing best ball drafts in February and March, at least until free agency kicks into high gear, he's the one that I'm targeting as a low risk, late round running back grab.
Ethan, I'll go with P. Ryan just because he has a possibility to be somewhat of a lead back on the Jets. I think the Jets and Jacksonville and teams like them, now some of them will make poor choices, but when you're taking over a roster as utterly devoid of hope as those teams are, wasting good resources on a running back, it's like a 60-win baseball team going out and signing a $20 million closer. It's not the right way to go about it. So hopefully for Jets fans, they go add all of the things that are not running backs, and LaMichael P. Ryan could have 240 touches next year.
Yeah, who's the new head coach of the Jets?
Robert Saleh.
Okay, and who's the new offensive coordinator of the Jets?
We get burned by this a lot, trying to figure out, oh, well, he came from this team, so they're going to have these tendencies. I think coaches adapt to their personnel. That's what I think.
I think a lot of them do, but I think there could be a very strong philosophy that's carried over from San Francisco to the Jets, which is don't pay your running backs, don't go hog wild on your salary cap with them, and then use them in groups of two, three, four, whatever it takes. So P. Ryan, I'm saying P. Ryan can have a role in that offense. I'm saying every running back that ends up on the Jets is going to have a role in the offense. But I would be kind of surprised if they give one guy in that offense 240 touches.
But P. Ryan's potential role is bigger than Kelly's potential role.
I don't know about that.
Really? I mean, how could that not be? You got Eckler there. Like, there's no way he's going to usurp Eckler.
You know? No, I don't think he usurps
Whereas
Eckler.
Whereas P. Ryan...
I don't know if P. Ryan can be the 1A in that Jets run game. I don't think he's that good. I think Ty Johnson looked
Kelly's
better.
Awful.
Kelly was pretty bad last year. We'll see what happens this year. Guys change. Guys can get better.
Yeah.
They're both late. Look, I'm not telling you that if I'm picking one over the other, I'm picking Kelly over P. Ryan. But they're both in that late round running back range. And there's another running back that you didn't even name, Adam, who's in that late round running back range, because he showed us something this year, who was a rookie. Savon Ahmed.
Yeah.
Ended up doing just fine for the Dolphins when Miles Gaskin was out. And I still think Gaskin is going to be the main guy for Miami unless they address that position somehow, some way. But Ahmed could end up having a small role while Gaskin's playing, and then a bigger role if Gaskin ends up missing time.
That is really interesting, because whether it was Ahmed or Gaskin, whoever was the starting running back for the Dolphins was great, was really, really good. And I'm interested to see how that plays out. But they've got some draft picks, some capital. Maybe they could. I thought they'd end up with Dobbins last year. Didn't happen. Maybe they will pick someone early in this draft. Heath and I are doing a draft right now, Dave. And through two rounds, Heath doesn't have a running back. And through three rounds, I don't have a running back. Pretty crazy.
Is this a baseball league?
No, this is the Omni Fantasy. So I have I have Novak Djokovic, the New York Yankees, and the Colorado Avalanche. Heath, what do you have? You have the Las Vegas Aces and England.
Yeah, the whole country. I'm coming for you. I think you should, since you're talking about the draft, reference the fact that I am the returning champion.
Oh, you won last year when all the sports got canceled.
I am the current reigning champion, actually co-champion with Dan. But
It's a fun. Check it out, omnifantasy.com. Ben Gretsch hooked us up with it, turned us on to it. It's a lot of fun. You can draft. We got NASCAR, tennis, college football, the NFL. The Chiefs were the fourth pick in the draft. It went Lakers, Djokovic, Alabama, Kansas City Chiefs. There's WNBA. There's different soccer leagues, football leagues. Some people say it's cool. There's golf. I'm sure you can customize it however you'd like. All right, the news and notes are quick. According to Jason Budd of The Athletic, Hayden Hurst could see more targets in Arthur Smith's offense. And Pittsburgh general manager Kevin Colbert was, I don't know, a little lukewarm on Ben Roethlisberger. He said, this was a hot take, Ben Roethlisberger is on the team.
Ooh.
That's what he said. Ben Roethlisberger did a lot of really good things last year. We anticipate that he could still do some good things going forward. Wow. Not a ringing endorsement there. They've got to cut his cap number way down. He's going to have to take a big pay cut. But I don't know. For me, this is the first time I feel like Roethlisberger really might not be back. I still think he will, but I would be pretty pissed if I were Roethlisberger and I heard that. Like, why not just lie and be like, we love Ben, we'd love to have him back? What's the point of saying this?
What's Ben Roethlisberger going to do if the Steelers don't want him back?
He's going to retire.
Maybe he should.
I don't think that guess is if Ben Roethlisberger retires, that they will have a worse quarterback in 2021 than Roethlisberger.
They're in a major pickle because if you don't want to pay Roethlisberger and he says, no, I'm just going to retire, what do they do? They're going to go to Mason Rudolph. I know that there was a report saying that Steelers are fine going into next year with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. I'm not going to be fine with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback. That's going to make me nervous to trust Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. And if he's still there, Juju Smith-Schuster. The Steelers have to figure out something here.
They need to win your tank.
Yeah, maybe.
Were they 11-0?
I had a dream they traded three first-round picks and Chase Claypool for Deshaun Watson.
Juju Smith-Schuster was recruiting Deshaun Watson, I believe, right? You see that? I don't think you're going to be on Pittsburgh. I don't really I don't know what team he was recruiting him to, but I don't know.
Maybe he was recruiting him to tell his team to call him.
Oh, for Houston? Hey, get me on Houston? Something like that. Okay. I don't know. I don't really think we have to talk. Well, we'll talk Dynasty. Sure, we can finish with some Dynasty talk. We did have an email that I wanted to read from Fitz in a southeast suburb of Detroit.
Flat Rock.
It says, Dear Jonathan, Nick, and Josh. Those are either Jonas brothers or the running backs we're about to talk about. You all have Jonathan Taylor ahead of Nick Chubb and Josh Jacobs. Why?
Upside. I mean, it's the biggest thing. I think he's got 2,000 total yard potential, 15 touchdown potential. In the case of Chubb, he's sharing, but he's not sharing with a guy like Kareem Hunt. And in the case of Josh Jacobs, he's more of a three down player than Jacobs ever has been.
And I could be wrong about this. I'm looking it up right now. Last year in PPR, Jonathan Taylor scored 254 PPR fantasy points. I'm not sure that Josh Jacobs has ever done that. And I'm not 100. Nick Chubb scored 261 in 2019. Like, I know he didn't do it for a full season last year, but his full season numbers with that amazing six-game stretch are just as good as anything Nick Chubb has produced and better than what Josh Jacobs has done.
Chubb was a half of PPR point better per game than Jonathan Taylor in 2020. And both of them were like 2 points better than Jacobs in PPR.
The thing is, Jacobs, and I don't know his YPC in his rookie year, but what if you took Jacobs' touches in his second year and his efficiency in his first year?
That you would have one of my favorite Azer stats of all time. Please
no,
do.
I'm just saying, I think he's a much better running back than what we saw last year. That's my point. He got so much work, and he got almost every carry inside the 5 yard line. I think I said he led the NFL in percentage inside the five, or he was second. So in terms of his team's carries. So I'm just saying, like, Jacobs finished as a top 10 running back, but he could still have a huge bounce back year because he's a much better running back than what we saw last year, in my opinion.
Sure. But if you're talking about running back talent, I mean, Chubb is among the best, and I think Taylor has a chance to be in that same vein.
Chubb's the man.
I would also say that, like, generally, it's not that uncommon for efficiency to regress when you get more work.
Well, he actually, sure, he only got 30 more carries, but he went from 4.8 yards to 3.9 yards per carry.
Yeah, I think I've probably got him projected at 4.4 next year.
He's not a 3.9 guy. I mean, that's just, well, their offensive line was in shambles all year.
Yeah, there's no such thing as a 3.9 guy. There's 3.9 situations.
Jordan Howard to me feels like a 3.9 guy. Why do I pick on him?
I don't know.
He's like a 4.0. He's great GPA.
Whose first 2 years in the league were better, Jordan Howard or Josh Jacobs?
Probably Howard. You tell me. Josh Jacobs had like 2,300 yards and 19 touchdowns rushing.
And Jordan Howard in his first 2 years?
Uh-huh.
He had 2,400 rush yards and 15 rushing touchdowns in his first two seasons. You can tack on another 425 receiving yards and a touchdown. So grand total, ladies and gentlemen.
Jacobs wins.
2,800 total yards and 16 touchdowns.
Oh, Jacobs, more touchdowns, 2,600 yards. Very similar.
So Howard was better.
Great. So now we're saying that Josh Jacobs is a little bit better or on par with Jordan Howard.
Actually, I can't think of a better endorsement. There's no question, because as rookies, Howard was at 5.2 yards per carry. Yeah. Jacobs was at 4.8. Their second year, Howard fell to 4.1. Jacobs was at 3.9. It's definitive that Jordan Howard, YPC for life.
I would agree with that, except I don't. Okay, dynasty questions. How many of the sophomore running backs are you taking ahead of Saquon Barkley in a dynasty, like a startup dynasty league? Who has more dynasty value than Saquon Barkley?
That's a good question.
For me, it's still zero. I still have Barkley at number two.
I'm taking Taylor over Barkley all the way. And I'm not sure if I'm comfortable taking Dobbins over Barkley. So I'll answer one.
Interesting. Okay. How about over Ezekiel Elliott?
One, two.
Definitely two.
Just three. Three for me.
Is Swift your third or is Akers your third? Probably Robinson.
It's Robinson, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Taylor, Swift, Robinson.
How about Josh Jacobs? Just Taylor and Swift?
Taylor and Swift for me.
I think I'd say Taylor and Swift for sure. And you could put Robinson and Akers close to Jacobs, maybe ahead of him. That's a tough call.
I'm impressed with my discipline that we've said Taylor Swift so many times today, and I haven't made any references really. To Jonathan Taylor and DeAndre Swift. What
we are never, ever, ever going to stop making that Ringer article joke.
I'm so glad I found that article. I feel so vindicated. Which sophomore running back has the most long-term upside? Jonathan Taylor, right?
Taylor. Yeah, Taylor.
Which sophomore running back has the most long-term downside?
It's probably Robinson.
Robinson or Edwards-Helaire?
I'm going to say it's Swift because he plays for the Lions.
Okay.
Just kidding.
I'm kidding.
All right, that's it. We're done. Thanks very much for listening, everybody. We've got a weekend now coming up, and then we're coming back on Monday with the sophomore wide receiver. Yes, sophomore wide receivers. Can't wait to talk about it. We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks so much. Make sure you're listening to Fantasy Football Today in 5. Ben Schrager is off next week, so that's 2 weeks. No power this week. Taking next week off. We miss Ben Schrager. We'll talk to him in a week and a half. But everybody, enjoy your weekend. See you later. For Dave and Heath, I'm Adam. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.